I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. More and more of us have begun taking advantage of the added convenience of going online to shop for groceries, and now nutritionists are studying what effect that has had on our overall healthy food choices. Some of their findings may surprise you. It's the subject of this week's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. Dr. Allison Gustafson is an associate professor of dietetics and human nutrition at the University of Kentucky. She recently collaborated on a study examining online grocery shopping habits, including their promises and pitfalls, and she talks about it with our own Dr. Greg Davis.
The paper was actually funded by Robert Wood Johnson. They wanted us to do a systematic review about online grocery shopping, given the proliferation of Amazon, now Walmart, and some of these other chains. How does that influence food shopping patterns and choices? And so it's interesting because my co-investigator, Stephanie Gilcott, who's the lead author on the paper, she really thought that online shopping would limit the amount of, in a sense, fun foods or less healthy food purchases that the person would buy. And my hypothesis was the opposite, that if you are making your list ahead of time on your laptop, or if you're on Amazon and you're buying food that way, you're less likely to probably buy fresh produce because you don't trust it as much.
Intuitively, I think I would be in your camp, sort of thinking of some of the ploys that grocery stores use with things in the checkout line that might grab our attention, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So I would be firmly in your camp at this point.
Yep. So we end up finding that we're both right. Right. And so you probably stick with what you know when you're this online shopping, which is what we found out from some of these papers that have been published, that you stick with what you know. So if you've always bought whole milk, then you're going to buy whole milk. And if you've always bought whole wheat bread, you're going to continue to buy that bread. But in point of fact, we are finding that some of that online shopping, you're not buying as many fresh produce items. And so unfortunately, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You aren't as tempted with that in-store marketing, and we call it impulse buying. You're not as tempted with that impulse buying, so you might not grab that extra bag of candy. On the other hand, then you're also not picking up fruit and vegetables that maybe would entice you when you're in the middle of the store.
Sure. You might have to walk a little bit to get to the produce section, but then a lot of stores around here, once you actually get there, it's a fun place to browse.
Right.
And you find all sorts of great things, but the online experience might be completely different.
Exactly. And you're less likely then to pick fruits or vegetables that you're not as familiar with, mm-hmm. or that you don't know how to prepare or cook, that kind of thing. And then also people are very reticent, given I don't want to buy a bruised or a damaged fruit or vegetable and waste my money that way.
A lot of us like to pick through the pyramid of fruit or vegetables to
right,
see what we want.
Exactly. So I think there's a place, and we see it. I mean, online shopping is happening. We also see, just even around here in Lexington, but it's all over, more self-checkout stores, aisles. And so if you have to check out your own groceries now, that also is going to influence kind of the foods that you're buying and how long you're willing to wait in line.
Is that a function of volume or of quality of food?
Yeah, more a function of volume. And mm-hmm. so I understand that grocery stores are saying if we can have the customer check themselves out, then that reduces our costs. I understand that. But it really is going to influence what people are willing to then purchase while they're waiting in line to check the food out themselves. So, for example, if you have a bag of apples and it doesn't have a barcode, you don't want to have to spend your time looking up the pound of apples. So the next time you shop, then you're going to say, well, I don't really feel like buying that produce that doesn't have a barcode on it. But I think the next step that will be interesting is really seeing how Amazon, and they have that store in Seattle, I believe it's Seattle, and people could look it up, where there is no checkout. You just put all your food in the grocery cart and you walk out.
Oh, and it's scanned as you put it in the cart?
Yep, and then you walk out. So I think that might be area of research that will be interesting to see how purchasing habits change. And the one article, it was in, I think it was Business Insider, I'm not real sure. It wasn't a peer-reviewed journal article, but People are actually grocery shopping the same amount. I think there was this misnomer that people have decreased their grocery shopping. It's not that they've decreased their grocery shopping, but what they're buying is different. And so it's a lot more of those prepared, ready-made meals.
It's such a unique concept, and I think of the potential for, I'm probably not using this phrase correctly, but loss of connectedness in society. When I think of going to the farmer's market and the farmers that I know mm-hmm. and buy from, when I think of going to certain grocery stores in town where I know the checkout people and the produce people, it seems like, of course, this is a wonderful convenience, and especially for those who are rushed with kids or other challenges. But on the other hand, there's a loss here as well, potentially.
There's definitely a loss, not only from a community engagement standpoint, but also really what you're willing to buy and carry home. And so I think, and I love partnering with grocery stores, and I think store managers are our advocate in this, that we want people still grocery shopping, because we know overall, if you're at a grocery store versus a convenience store or a dollar type store, you're going to be overall buying healthier food items. So I think if we do see this increase in online grocery shopping, which we do, perhaps there's a way to, especially for lower income households, to offer incentives and vouchers while they're on their phone or their computer making that list or doing that online shopping. And a lot of people think, oh, lower income consumers don't shop online. They do. People have phones. Mm-hmm. Lots of people have phones. So I think if we could work on marketing and maybe some of those vouchers, that might help.
This is in such a nascent sort of infancy that I know I'll want to circle back with you in a few months and hear what data you've collected. But in the meantime, is there anything we've not talked about that you would want our listeners to know about?
The other thing that I would is that we really want to increase that in rural communities, that partnership with keeping our grocers vibrant in our rural communities. And that's something that we work on, and we have a pretty large CDC grant mm-hmm. in Hyobi City, I think it's CDC 1809, mm-hmm. I could be wrong on the title, mm-hmm. And working with Martin County, and we want to keep our local grocers in business. Mm-hmm. And so I think if it helps customers to shop online at those local smaller grocery stores, we want to engage in that dialogue and that conversation, because what's really important is keeping those stores open for the communities, rather than everyone shopping at a bigger super center and taking their business elsewhere.
My thanks today to Dr. Allison Gustafson, Associate Professor of Dietetics and Human Nutrition at UK, for talking with me about a study that she and colleagues have recently engaged in, looking at the ups and downs of online grocery shopping. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org. And for information on becoming an underwriter, contact Gail Bennett at 257-7049.